We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
The first thing trending is exactly what you think. Yeah, the Chiefs possibly changing their name of the stadium, and by not changing it, just adding a sponsor to it. GEHA, with a chance to buy it, according to multiple reports. They're closing in on a naming rights deal for the first time, obviously, in Arrowhead Stadium's history. Pete, you gotta be honest. You guys would have ponied up. It could have stayed Arrowhead. It could have just been Arrowhead Pride Stadium. You would have really solved a lot of problems for people had you just stepped up to the plate here.
Yes.
20 mil a year, maybe? What's what a naming rights deal is going
for? I would love all of my jobs to simply just be the stadium. Arrowhead Pride, 610 Sports Radio, 41 Action News Stadium. That would have been nicer, but listen, we're stuck with probably something like GEHA Field at Arrowhead, and it's not ideal. I think everybody in this city would have loved for this to stay Arrowhead Stadium forever. It's not realistic. It's the way things are going. I think eventually every stadium that you hear of will go this route, and even some of the classic ones, and it's just a product of the times. And I think you put it perfectly. You'll eventually see advertising everywhere, on jerseys included. And so you love the purity of it, and you understand that, but this was coming, and here it is.
I mean, that's exactly it. The purity, like, it was awesome that we lived in a city that did that, but what options do you have, Pete?
Next on What's Trending, the MLS bubble has its first coronavirus outbreak, and it's all on the one team. The MLS has announced 6 positive COVID tests in Orlando, and all 6 are FC Dallas players. Clark Hunt staying trending. That's his that's his MLS team.
That's not great.
No.
Not great for old. And the NBA just reannounced theirs, and they had 9 more people test positive than the original people who tested positive. I don't even know if I'm supposed to react every time we find out more people test positive, Pete, or if I'm just supposed to accept any number for what it is.
Right.
Because it feels like I'm just doing that, and I'm not sure if that's supposed to be my actual reaction to it. Number 3 for what's trending, the NFL has announced it will shorten its preseason. It was once 4 games. Thank God is only 2, maybe less. That's the key to all of this. They announced that one team will each get 1 home, 1 road game. But there are still reports that the NFLPA and NFL have yet to actually negotiate or agree to any of this, including, you know, one kicker who's currently on the Broncos, Brandon McManus, saying, it ain't going to be 2.
Right.
You go ahead and better look out for 1 or 0, because 2's not happening. And Chase Daniel, former Kansas City Chief and Missouri Tiger, saying many more changes than just that, .. 2020 NFL season will not be recognizable. That's for sure. So hints at possible more changes coming. But at least one we can all universally be fine with. From 4 preseason games to 2, no complaints on my end.
Congratulations to Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Chiefs fans, myself, for getting 2 nights of your life back. Because
what is it like?
The NFL preseason, it is what it is. It's exciting for the first couple minutes, and then you're ready for the regular season. And I get the NFL needs to evaluate their teams, but now practices and training camp will be more amplified, and they'll be able to figure out who they should keep on the 53. Man roster. Patrick Mahomes will play, speaking of Mahomes, he'll play in Tahoe this month for a celebrity golf tournament.
Oh, I've been out there before.
A lot of people.
You got a problem with it?
Within the organization say that Mahomes is also the best golfer on the team, along with the best football
Ridiculous.
Player.
Ridiculous. I am curious. Aren't you curious to watch him on TV? You'll be able to watch him golf on TV. Aren't you a little curious to see how he plays?
Whether or not I'm curious, I'm going to need to cover it, so it doesn't really matter.
But are you curious?
I am.
Mildly?
I've started to hear some of these stories, and never to the extent that, like, Bo Jackson had these stories. But Mahomes, you start to hear these different things.
Better than darts or ping pong or golf.
Yes, whatever they play, they're good at. I think the one thing we could guarantee is he's going to do better than Tom Brady did on national television, and for me, that's all that matters.
He's going to be on that thing, that match next week, next year, that's for sure. Number 5 for what's trending, the Washington team could be forced to change their name multiple investment firms send out to their major players like Nike, FedEx, and Pepsi, asking them to stop doing business with the Washington Redskins until their name is changed. This obviously coming on the foot of the Black Lives Matter movement, but this is not the first time we have talked about their name and a possible need for change across the NFL. The question is, will these investment firms, who hold apparently $672 million worth of business, be actually willing to hold out on them if they're not willing to hold out on the NFL? I don't know if they're going to change right away. I still think it's going to take a league mandate to do it.
Washington Warriors. It flows off the tongue. It's a beautiful name. It's ready for you. I've seen it floated out for years now. And you can make all kinds of merchandise money on the deal. Give me the Washington Warriors. I'm ready for it. I'm ready for that era. And you could start it with a new head coach, new quarterback, new feel for the organization. I think this is a layup, a slam dunk, whatever other cliche you want to use. Last thing for what's trending, Cody. Russell Wilson and Antonio Brown were working out together. Do you care about this?
No. NFC team. I mean, I think there's a decent chance he picks up with a team this season. But, you know, that's an NFC team. I can't be worried about threats to Patrick Mahomes' reign
right
on the NFC front. If he went to the Ravens, I care.
Yeah.
I'm curious if he goes to the Ravens. Seahawks, I'll wait to see how it plays out before I get too up in arms.
Antonio Brown is a peculiar case because in players with, I would say, maybe not similar issues because it's very unique, but just similar circumstances when it comes to playing in the league. So Josh Gordon comes to mind, you know, other guys that have held out or just been not in the league for problems or for whatever reason. Antonio Brown is different because he could walk in this season, week one, and easily be one of the top five receivers, if not the best wide receiver in the league. So you're right about that. I've been hypothesizing and thinking recently, if the Ravens were in the mix here, do the Chiefs need to be in the mix? Are the Ravens one Antonio Brown away from being like right there with the Chiefs? Some would make the case that they've made enough moves this offseason that they are right anyway. Now. Do you bring Antonio Brown in? Andy Reid has showed a history of being able to give guys second chances.
When would he get the ball?
Right. But I'm just saying, in a standpoint of keeping him away from the Ravens. I mean, Andy Reid was the guy who brought in Michael Vick after jail. There's been second chances when Tyreek, and I'm talking about the first time with the draft and all that stuff, he brought in and he's flourished under Andy Reid. Reid is willing to sign these guys if it makes sense. I don't think Antonio Brown is going to the Chiefs, but should it be being considered if he is floating around Baltimore? I don't know. I don't know where you'd find that money either.
You always find money. It's the cap. It doesn't mean anything.
Under the bed.
It's fake. It's
in the mattress.
It's Monopoly
the
money.
There's always money in the banana stand.
There you go. Go with the Arrested Development reference. To finish up, that's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. We're going to talk about, in a couple of minutes, Rob Manfred saying something on national radio he definitely shouldn't have said, but just a little bit more in a second for the name change because people are talking about it, obviously. Reports out today that the Kansas City Chiefs are closing in on selling the naming rights to their stadium. Now, know this. Arrowhead will be in the naming, right, Pete? It'll be GEH Stadium at Arrowhead or however they're going to phrase it.
We think.
We presume they would not get rid of the name Arrowhead inside of it while selling. And I don't think it's going to be guaranteed rate field like it is in Chicago for the White Sox. I do think that they'll maintain some of that. But also, because it's the only thing we're going to call it, I have a hard time really getting up in arms about the possibility of saying it's going to be on the outside of the stadium. Yeah, it's going to look weird. Do the Chiefs or the NFL actually need that money to stay a functional, successful business? Nah, they're good. They haven't had their entire existence. And they're all still plenty rich. But it's also just part of the business. And unless Patrick Mahomes was asking for it in his next deal, it was going to go for something else. Unless he wanted it renamed after himself,
right?
It was eventually going to go to a sponsor.
I was just about to make that joke. In 2040, this is going to be Patrick Mahomes Stadium anyway. So
they should have offered that as a deal sweetener. Could you imagine Patrick Mahomes Stadium at Arrowhead?
Perfect.
Will you take $10 million less a year, Patrick, if we just name the stadium after you? Okay, thanks.
Patrick Mahomes Family Stadium, like in beautiful Manhattan, Kansas. No, this was coming for a long time. You had heard rumblings throughout the organization that this was on the way. I'm actually surprised that it took this long. It was probably a compensation thing, potentially having to do with a little bit with COVID, and there may be some losses in the future. How do you start?
And they had a really good relationship already with the Chiefs and with Patrick Mahomes. So they were already dumping money into the Chiefs brand.
And it's a way too. And when you go through problems, even as an organization like the NFL, like the Kansas City Chiefs, you got to find a way and find ways, right, to break even. And this isn't the best scenario. I know fans aren't going to love it. The thing is, in Kansas City, as we've talked about in the segment before, people are just going to call this Arrowhead Stadium. It's not really going to change anyone, you know, as you're talking about the team with friends, family, in at bars, restaurants, at family gatherings, certain things like that. You're still going to say, hey, we're going to Arrowhead on Sunday. You're not going to say, hey, you going to GEHA? No, it's not going to change your word of mouth communication when you talk about the Chiefs and football and everything.
No, and it's just not. Like, this has happened. Like, some people, like I told you, like, they were mad when the White Sox were mad when they actually changed it to a different sponsor, right? Because it's guaranteed rate field now. Before, it was U.S. Cellular Field, and they're like, that's the dumbest name. And they started calling it the Cell.
Right.
And it became popular, and people started to like it. GEHA? It's just never going to happen. It will never be known as anything but Arrowhead Stadium. But everybody knows that eventually, like, my question with it, you know, out of curiosity is, how much longer do you think that naming will last when the Chiefs eventually build a new stadium? I don't know how to break this to everybody. Eventually, Kansas City is going to build a new football stadium. My curiosity is it that time? Right. Does that nomenclature go away?
Right.
It might not. It's a bigger question for a bigger day, but you know, like, the fact that they're already having these conversations just has me thinking down the road stuff, because that will eventually come up.
I, for one, am ready to see what the bowl looks like. And that, of course, is Boulevard Stadium in downtown Kansas City, where the Chiefs play in X year.
The bowl.
That would be cool, right?
Wouldn't you got to get cool? The right shape on it, but yeah, I'm in.
There has to be some kind of company where you could shorten it.
You know, and it's so weird how we feel about it, because, like, Wrigley Field, we don't think anything of it. But that was the first stadium sponsor. It wasn't Wrigley just because they felt like calling it that.
Right.
It was the gum, fellas. Like, I mean, that was it.
And you look at the Broncos Stadium, Mile High. I feel like everybody called that Mile High. Right now, it's Empower Field at Mile High.
I would have never known it was Empower Field. I would have still called it Mile High.
Not that you want to necessarily relate to the Broncos, but even Chiefs fans in Kansas City, miles and miles and miles and miles away from Denver, Colorado, what do you call it when the Chiefs have to play the Broncos? Oh, they're at Mile High this week.
Yeah, it's
doesn't
Mile
matter.
High Report is their subsidiary of SB Nation, just like you guys are Arrowhead Pride. That name is synonymous with Kansas City. It doesn't change anything. It's fine.
We'll call it Arrowhead in our articles, and that'll continue. You know where it'll be different? In our official game previews, we'll have the official name of the stadium. You'll see it on pamphlets when you walk in or game programs.
And it'll, the CEO at GEHA will call it that. But
right. Like, when you're going to the Arrowhead practice facility, when you and I, and we don't necessarily call it the University of Kansas Health System practice facility at Arrowhead. No. We just say, hey, we're going to the practice facility. I find this will be similar.
Yeah, I agree. It's a little sad because, like, the
you sold out.
Yeah, it's know? That. It's that
idea.
But I gotta be honest.
You sold out.
I'll sell out.
Right.
I asked Quick Trip yesterday to sponsor this show, so for the second consecutive show, I will tell Quick Trip again to sponsor this show. Sell out. So, like, it's hard for me to be like, how dare you, Aaron? I will definitely sell out.
Did you tell Quick Trip that we renamed it Cody and Bold for the day?
Yeah, fine, great. It's Cody and Bold, Quick Trip, brought to you by Quick Trip.
One of those pretzels.
It's Crossroads Investment Lending, our show. They can't get the whole sponsor out there. That's Crossroads Investment Lending. They got dibs on that. But they can have What's Trending brought to you by Quick Trip.
Right.
They're welcome to that. And they can have me. I can be Cody Tapp brought to you by Quick Trip.
Yes.
Coming up next on Cody and Gold, Cody Tapp brought to you by Quick Trip.
Tap.
Quick Trip, new taquitos on the roller grill. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say it. It's hard for me to say I wouldn't sell out and then tell Arrowhead not to do the same thing. Because that's the issue.
That's how the world works.
It would be pretty disingenuous of me to say, how dare you? Coming up in about 20 minutes, we'll talk to Vahe Gregorian over at the Kansas City Star about multiple things happening around sports, including the possible name change happening over at Arrowhead. But Rob Manfred, he had a national interview yesterday, Pete.
Oh, no.
Said some things he should not have said.
Look, I think the most important thing to our fans is that we're going to make every attempt to get the game back on the field. You know, I know some people have talked about longer seasons, 62 short. The reality is we weren't going to play more than 60 games, no matter how the negotiation with the players went or any other factor. 60 games is the outside of the envelope, given the realities of the virus.
That is the dumbest thing he could say. He does realize that the reason why the players... So just think about this. Like, if you were ever pro-owner in any of this, and I'm not saying you were, Pete, but people were. If you were ever pro-owner, you were saying they were calling them cheap. Why wouldn't they just take the deal? The owners were offering this other thing. He just admitted on tape that the best they were going to ever do is 60 games. So why would they give the MLB owners six free playoff teams per league if they were going to do that? Admitting that could cost MLB owners $1 billion. And I'm not exaggerating. That's what they were said to maybe be targeting in a grievance hearing with Major League Baseball. That being said, is evident that they were fully unwilling to cooperate under any negotiation. They were never going to accept more than 60 games.
And your most significant role as when you're a commissioner is, okay, what was the game like prior to you becoming commissioner, and where did you leave it? And the grand goal is to make the game better after you leave than before you were there. And this is a scenario, too, where this entire ordeal, where it was a very ugly public battle, it hurt the game. I mean, depending on who you think, oh, owners are greedy, you know, players are greedy. Well, someone's being greedy, and who are you not thinking about in that? It's the fans. And so there's going to be fans out there who are sick of baseball and hearing about it. And I know that it's not going to be the same this year. There are players and stars opting out. And not to say that I'm blaming them for doing so. It's a health thing, and you can't blame them. But the game is in such a bad place. And really, all sports are in such a questionable place where you want to do everything in your power to put the game in the best light. And then you go on the air. Like, you listen to that clip. Did he think that it wasn't being recorded or broadcasted? It's like, what is going through your mind as you're doing these media appearances?
You have to know, if you've been around any industry, like, they are very careful about telling them the things they're going to be asked. You can't say it was 60 or nothing. That's the exact thing they want to sue you over.
Right.
Like, that, it, in what way would that benefit the league? And at the end, he's like, well, you know, because of COVID. You know, what choice do we have? Like, well, then you should have made that clear in those negotiations, because obviously the players didn't feel that way. When they said when and where, you obviously, because people were always like, well, they gave him when and where and they didn't play. I'm like, no, they gave him when, where, and here's all this other stuff. You don't get to tell me how. I said when and where. I didn't say I'll play under any conditions. That's the problem. Like, he's admitting that they were never going to operate in good faith.
He needs to get to the games as soon as possible, because I've seen it in sports a lot. Like, you can complain about certain things and a certain team. If your team starts winning, all of a sudden people start to forget. If he can just get to the games and stop doing interviews. I don't know who's around.
Rob, yeah, he desperately needs it.
Stop. Just stop.
He's going to get himself fired, and I'm so thankful, because he's bad for baseball.
Agreed. And it's some of these interviews, and just get to the games. I don't know why I have to be this public strategist for you, Rob Manfred. Get to the games and shut up.
Do you think that, like, Roger Goodell is just maniacally laughing at how happy he must be that all of a sudden he's not viewed as the worst commissioner right now? He's got to be so happy.
I feel like he was dragging his feet this entire time, saying, no, we were going to 60 games no matter what, so we can just prolong all of our quote-unquote,
which is what they were being accused of, and now he's just admitting it.
And yeah, exactly. So this does not look good for good old Rob.
Think about the commissioner's club, right? You have Adam Silver, Gary Bettman, and you have Rob Manfred, and they're looking at Roger Goodell, and, man, this guy's in the basement. Everyone hates him. We are so likable. Our leagues, they love us. We do everything right in our leagues. And then all of a sudden, Roger Goodell goes down to his actual basement for the NFL draft. He takes his suit off. He's calling out draft picks in his sweatshirt, starting to seem a little bit more personable. And really, Rob Manfred finds a way to do every single thing wrong. And so somehow, out of a shadow of a doubt, and it would seem so unlikely, Roger Goodell has got himself from the basement, out of the basement, to at least the number three commissioner of the four major sports. And it's because of Rob Manfred's own doing. So congratulations to Roger Goodell on that. It seemed like a dire circumstance for him.
Heel turn, man.
It was a face turn for Goodell, and Rob Manfred had the heel turn. He really, you didn't expect it in him, and he really went to the dark side.
My only fear is that the guys who run baseball will just choose someone worse than him. Like, it doesn't seem plausible at the moment just because of the way he's done it, and yet here we are. Rob Manfred also in that interview with Dan Patrick had said that maybe from March they should have made it pretty clear they were going to be playing in empty ballparks.
I just think that we would have been more explicit about the need for subsequent negotiation. I mean, I think the agreement was clear that it contemplated playing in stadiums with fans. We took the we had no obligation to play unless we could play with fans, and the players understood that. We thought it made clear that there would have to be a discussion of playing empty. I think I just would have written the words, you know, if we're going to play empty, there needs to be another negotiation. I think that negotiation probably would have gone a little differently had we done that. But, you know, hindsight's perfect, you know.
This isn't the contract with your dog groomer. It was extra for the ear cleaning. I wish they would have told me that on the paper before I agreed to it. How did they not, like, if they knew they wanted more negotiations, if no one was going to be in the stands, how could they have not put that in a deal? You know why? Because they didn't actually think that was going to happen, and they're stupid for not including it. And now he's trying to walk it back because they wish they'd had more negotiations. This interview with Rob Manfred and Dan Patrick makes him look so bad. He needs to go on. And we've all got friends like this, or people who have gotten in trouble, and you're like, you know what would be best right now? If you just disappeared.
Right.
For a while. Just.
Time.
Get out.
Heals all. Go to the basement for 3 months.
Stop taking Heyman's text. Whatever. Get out.
Yeah, we talked about in the first hour, I believe we have a podcast channel here on the show. I don't know. It's my first day. We talked about how PR impacts leagues, and it'll be interesting to see how the Royals and Chiefs, and really the rest of the sports world, deals with COVID. Does Rob Manfred have a PR team? Does he run anything by anybody ever?
It's like, I'm gonna go on this Dan Patrick. Like, was someone in the corner who just follows him around? He starts saying, like,
right. Does he just call his own shots?
No, come on.
Does he have no MLB cabinet that, like, he says, maybe we should talk about how this is going to go? Should we run through some questions for you? Like, so to put baseball and the future of baseball in the best possible light?
Every single NFL head coach meets with their PR guy about the possible questions they're going to get before they meet with the media every time.
Right.
Every time. Manfred's out here just free fly, man. He doesn't care. Like, whatever. Free flow, baby.
Just the future.
We're saying, boom, 60 games. That's it. Finger guns.
Just
like
the future of the game that everybody loves. Just America's pastime here. No big deal.
Could be $1 billion on the line from a boss's.
Whatever, though. Screw it. Let's go on Dan.
I mean, I guess the good news is for Rob Manfred is that he could retire tomorrow and he'd be fine.
Right.
Like, remember when you were upset about Vanilla Ice's net worth? Imagine how much higher Rob Manfred's
net worth
is.
Don't want to know it. Don't want to know it.
You don't want to know it?
This is turning into a depressing show.
He makes like
show.
$10, $15, $20 million a year, doesn't he?
Told me anyway, I guess. That's
well, it's actually not way more than, it's not way more. It's only $20 million, according to
this. Would you rather be, and we did this or that before, would you rather be Vanilla Ice or Rob Manfred right now?
Let me be Vanilla Ice.
I mean,
it'd be easier.
I guess Manfred, because he got $8 million more, but neither's liked enough. So you get your own problems to go
Here's
with.
The thing. Vanilla Ice can cancel his thing. Rob Manfred can't.
Vanilla Ice can still cancel his season and have $12 million, and he'll be fine. Rob Manfred cancels it, and now he's once again the enemy.
He's
after already
place.
Becoming the enemy.
He's in a bad place, and it's his own doing. It's his own fault.
Yeah, being commissioner is not particularly easy anyway, because you have to be the bad guys for the owners a lot, but he's a terrible bad guy.
Right.
He just keeps getting them in more trouble, rather than just being the villain solo. Like, Goodell does a really good job of just being the super villain for all the owners. He doesn't even do that well. He's got dissent.
It's like Dr. Evil, and he's almost bragging. Yeah, it's always going to be 60 games.
They'll never do anything except sue you, because they have a collectively agreed bargain agreement.
Yeah.
Issues alone. Coming up next here on Cody and Gold, we'll talk about where the sports calendar goes from here. If there are cancellations, how we might move it ourselves. Dan Wolkin was suggesting the possibility of looking at spring football and multiple large conferences. We're looking at that. Plus an incredible thing Maya Moore did in a missed season. We'll do that next here on 610 Sports Radio.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The fix and flip guys at caseylend.com.
Geico for your boat. See how much you could save at geico.com today.
Back in here on Cody and Gold. Just trying to think about different options for Arrowhead if they had renamed it. Reports are today that they're reportedly closing on a deal to sell the naming rights to the stadium. It will not be Arrowhead Pride Stadium. It will not be Arrowhead State, 610 Sports Radio Stadium at Field. You know how they do that. 610 Sports Radio Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's none of those. GEHA may be the possible sponsor, but that was the breaking news earlier today. The more recent breaking news is both from the text line and now the internet. We spent time earlier talking about a Vanilla Ice concert to take place. It's canceled, Pete. So you can't go down to Austin, Kramer. They canceled that Vanilla Ice concert. You were stuck in Kansas City for the weekend, my friend.
What am I going to do now?
I don't know.
It's a shame. That was going to be something.
I was really looking forward to the photos from the listeners down there at the concert. Thank you to the text line, the Smitty's Garage Burger and Beer text line. 913-576-7610. I almost gave the old number. My bad. But either way, they were helping us know. And then I went and looked it up, and they were right. It canceled.
Think about how the world was and how much better it was an hour ago. You could still go to Arrowhead Stadium. You could still go to Vanilla Ice. Now you can't do either of those things.
Times are tough, man.
Right.
Times are tough.
No doubt about it.
It's not going to be that. That's why we're going to re-envision the sports calendar, Pete.
Mm-hmm.
Re-envision it. Dan Wolkin, who we've had on, weirdly enough, he was not a controversial guest. People were a little critical of the things he had to say on us. It just so happened we had him on 2 days before the NCAA tournament, as he was calling, maybe a week before the NCAA tournament, it was 2 days before the Big 12 tournament. He was calling for the full cancellation of the NCAA tournament. At the time, a controversial opinion. Now, we know since then things have changed a lot in the sports landscape, but now he's taking another stance. Multiple leagues are reportedly entertaining the idea of moving their football calendar to the fall. We've seen the Ivy League seriously consider it with just playing a 7-game schedule, just playing each other. But they also don't play, they play in some bowl games like the Armed Forces Bowl, and they play in, but they don't play in the college football playoff. They're not going to play in that. And they don't play as many non-league games because it's a non-profit sport for them. So it's not a big deal. But there's also chatter this week about the possibility of the SEC and Big Ten being opposed to the possibility of a spring season as some of these schools start to kick it around. And it made me wonder, one,
right,
if even that's a good idea. Should we be moving college football to the spring? Does that solve their problem? But also just kind of reimagining the sports landscape. If we got to set up the sports calendar any way we wanted, how would we set it up? I got to be honest, college football would probably be in the spring.
Yeah.
It'd be right around that Super Bowl time. They can be playing all of the rummy teams they just run over at the beginning, and I won't care. And I'd have college football during Pro Bowl week and the lead up to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then the NFL would get Saturdays to put games to,
and they already
if they wanted.
They want those because any chance that college football is not going, they'll put a Saturday game. You see it around Christmas time, especially.
Yeah, which is another reason why the NFL would be for it. I think that's where I would start the reimagination of the sports calendar. I think some of it would have to come with some shortening. I might start baseball a little later into the season to give college football more of that breadth.
Right.
And then I might move, and I would need to shorten the NBA season so that it could start around Christmas and then run through as well. But essentially, I'm just trying to eliminate that down period. And the problem is that I'm still running into that in June and July. So what sport do I move into there if I'm going to try to get rid of All-Star break
time?
Well,
if you now have spring football, and I think it's a decent point because we've seen a couple pro spring football leagues that have tried to do it. But the problem is that you don't feel like it's legitimate competition. But
the college football, you would.
No, and that's what I'm saying. So maybe that is finally your answer for whatever everyone's been asking for, this successful NFL minor leagues. So maybe what you do is somehow move the college basketball season a little bit further up. And you make March Madness, June Madness, July Madness, one of those months. And you just do this summer.
Oh, my God. All-star break.
People have been
March Madness.
Have you ever been to Vegas for March Madness? No. Have you ever been to Vegas for July Madness? You got the holiday. It's the summer.
Why not college football in the summer, though?
Too hot.
Hot football's no good, huh?
I just feel like you need a lot of drink breaks. I saw this the other day that they have in the Premier League in the middle of the first half. If it's too hot, they do a drink break. You would need a drinks break for college football, and I just don't think that it's in a place where they want to go in that direction. Imagine having to stop a really intense moment, third down.
So people could get some juice?
Nope. Time for a drinks break. Stop everything. Gatorade up.
It feels like the most little league thing a professional sports league does.
They do it in the Premier League. Now,
I'm not saying, I know, but like, doesn't it feel like little league? Like, come on, come take a drink of some water, Jimmy. Mm-hmm. Like, well, it's hot out.
Better.
Put on some more sunscreen.
You do have to think better that than heat strokes, right? Or like.
Yeah. Well, if we're taking the serious side of this, yes, it would be better than that.
You know what I mean?
If we're going with, I don't want them to legitimately have heat stroke.
I just think football in the middle of the summer is not a good
recipe. I think spring football that starts early, like you almost start it in cold weather. Like it starts towards the tail end of the football season. The problem is, if you do that, you go up against Saturday playoff games. But those first couple of games of the college season don't mean anything.
Right.
They've only encouraged it deeper with the college football playoff to schedule non-conference rummies. So just fine. Give me those in the early part of the playoff season, or I don't care. Start college the day after. The only problem is, are NFL teams going to be willing to draft a guy and then allow him to play out the rest of his college football career while they wait to sign him? And my general answer is, well, they do it with college baseball, so why can't you? The only problem is, man, Willis McGahee tears his ACL in the national title game, and he's already been drafted by a team. How do you handle it?
But the problem, too, is, and even besides that, so say the guy is completely healthy. Like, the Chiefs took a running back this year instead of all of those reps coming last year. And one of the
they're coming this year.
This year. And then you have to go and play in the fall shortly after. So that's a big wrinkle, too. Now that Clyde has joined the Chiefs, he'll be having what? I don't know what the numbers are exactly. I don't have them in front of me, but 1,000 touches? That it seems like too many, especially for like a running back or whatever it would be. He's an interesting example because one of the good things about him and drafting him is his touches weren't heavy in college.
Yeah, so that's the only problem with spring football. It's like, how do you start it early enough where those guys aren't gashed, you're right, by the time an NFL season rolls around?
Because rookies are important in the NFL, and no better example than your Kansas City Chiefs, who are up against it right now with Chris Jones and a quarterback to pay. Those rookie deals matter.
They do. The Chiefs, I think in Kansas City we grow a little bit numb to that because they have not been overusers of rookies. Oftentimes in Kansas City, sometimes they let them slow play their way into a lineup. But
yeah,
remember when everyone was like panicking that Juan Thornhill going down was going to cost the Chiefs the Super Bowl? That's how impactful he had become at one point on the field for Kansas City. I mean, it does still occur for them. And I guess that's where you'd still have to have the season end early enough that it doesn't. But pushing it back a little wouldn't kill me.
Little did they know the Chiefs have Dirty Dan Sorensen, and he will play in the summer, the fall. He'll play in a parking lot. That's why they call him Dirty Filthy Dan.
College basketball, we could legitimately put at any time of the year.
Yeah.
Just what is the slowest time of the year? We'll take college basketball then.
It is that all-star break thing. That's what I was suggesting.
The only problem is kids have to play basketball in the summer, although that might help them at school. At least now they're not traveling student athletes. They're not traveling in the middle of a season to also try to be a student. They do have to go year-round.
I bet the college athletes would hate that. They love missing class, I would imagine.
I would have.
Yeah.
I skipped, didn't you?
You know, everybody skips.
Not everybody, man.
I didn't skip.
Not one day.
No, I wait. No days off.
I think I skipped like 3 days.
I skipped.
Ever?
I think so in college. But
good for you.
That's just, cause, I mean.
That's a low number.
That's the thing. The classes I taken were just so okay.
And this is a future professional wrestler. And he cared about class. Good for him.
I did not ever have perfect attendance, so it turns out.
Well, look.
You know, a lot of, admittedly, though, a lot of what I did in school was working out negotiations so that I didn't have to go to class. It was less skipping and more, what if I did a semester's worth of work in a month?
Right.
And then I'm not here anymore and you don't care.
You did this with your teachers?
And there were teachers that I could work out this agreement, especially in high school. Mm. You could work out agreements similar to this where my absence from the classroom was not as big of a deal. There was a lot of negotiating. Like, I took school as one giant negotiation at that age.
Wow. You're ahead of your time. A little
There's
slimy.
There's got to be some movement
you're
in
like
it, right?
You're like a little car dealer.
Yeah, I guess.
Greasing up. What did you do with all that extra time?
My nephew was at the daycare at the school, or we'd go shoot random video stuff that we thought was fun.
Look at this.
Sometimes honestly, a lot of it was like media stuff.
Right.
Sometimes we'd go watch the NCAA tournament and order a pizza and sit in the room. But I
imagine
still
if that was
did
in July.
The work.
Imagine that was in July.
Oh, beautiful. I could just do it during the summer.
That's right.
I could skip for other reasons.
There you go.
Again, it wasn't skipping. It was, you know, like when I had a final for history and I convinced the teacher to play me one-on-one on basketball for it.
Wow. And how did, who won?
I broke my ankle and things did not. So.
It's still wrapped to this day, I saw, coming in.
Yeah, not even the right ankle. I wish that was still the problem. But yeah, no, it's...
Did you ace that final, though?
Yeah, I did, but you know, you got a question because I didn't go back through. You think he just gave me the A because of the broken ankle?
I think he did.
I was a good student, I could have gotten an A on my own.
Did he cross you up pretty good, I'm
but
guessing.
But it feels like, I was going for a loose ball.
Right.
7-6 to 1 by 11s, going for a loose ball, put my, you know, like high school gyms, man, they're short.
Right.
Put my foot up against the wall to try to stop myself and save the ball. Ankle snapped.
Hmm.
What are you going to do, man? I mean, sometimes you got to do this. It's about the hustle in life, Kramer. This is a good life lesson for the kids for a minute before we switch topics.
Okay.
Everything is negotiable.
That's right.
Like even in elementary school, middle school, high school, this is all negotiable.
Even with your parents.
Yeah. For instance, I had, in high school, another example of this would be, yes, with your parents. Oh, I'm totally negotiable. In high school, I had a project due that was like on leaf identification. We had to get a bunch and then label them and put a whole project. Well, mine went missing. The teacher, believed me because I was a good student. He then offered me, he's like, look, we can't tell anybody, but I'll just give you a B on this. I'm like, sir, a B? You think I'm just going to take a blind B here? No. We got to do better than this. We're at the work. Now, I should have just probably taken the B, but there's wiggle room here, Pete. Mm-hmm. What's the worst? He's offered me the B. He'll give me that.
Right.
Have a conversation. Maybe you can work your way back up.
Hardly going to get worse.
No, he's not going to be like, I'm not going to say A and he's going to say C. This isn't the pawn shop.
Right.
There's a little bit of movement in that. There was movement in that B. I got him down to an A-.
See, and so let that be a lesson to the listeners. See if you can negotiate something this weekend.
See, Cody, I feel like you were that kid in elementary school that always wanted to ask the questions. Because even with your story with Gridiron yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I was more than willing to work out some, from a very early on,
right.
Work out some things with teachers that allowed me the freedom to, be like, you need to show your work in math. I'm like, but I can prove to you that I can do it. And if I prove to you, I'll come in here early. I'll show up. I'll take a test. I'll show no work. I'll show that I have the right answers. I don't have to show work anymore. Like, fine, Cody, if you'll do all that. I'm like, okay, I'm really going to show up.
Right.
And you're just going to grade my test based on the answers, and we're just going to move on. It's all negotiation, Pete.
Interesting.
You're going to work it out.
This really is a life feels lesson. Like some shady business went on in Cody's life. I have to say.
Slide some ones under the table.
Yeah, I don't know.
It does feel
I'm trying to question my own. Like every decision I made put me right across from Cody.
I feel like you need to ask Cody single time you want to make a decision.
Did I get negotiated into coming here?
Did I?
What am I doing here?
Negotiate enough?
Did I just wake up here?
We'll get to it now. I'll ask you a different question instead. Let's get to the random question. Maybe? Nah, it's fine, Kramer. Don't worry about it. We don't really need
random
it.
Random question.
We honestly don't need it. Random question of the day for you, Pete, for you, Kramer, and then I'll answer it as well. Sometimes these come in the style of would you rather. Today's is. Would you rather have a flying carpet, it only fits one, or a car that you can drive underwater at any time? You don't have to do any preparation. Your car could go straight from the road into the water and drive underneath it.
Well, at first, you look at this question. I'm going to evaluate this like a sports.
I put some restrictions on there because I want you to.
You would
can't take your girlfriend on your flying carpet.
You immediately think that a flying carpet is the answer, right? And I think that would be cool for a day. And I think for one day, you go flying carpet because you're up in the air. It's this absolute incredible thing. Like anything, that's going to get old after a while. You're going to get sick of people seeing you up there.
Asking if they can borrow
it. Yeah. The thing about the car underwater is it still sort of does the same thing. You would have to move to a coast, but it's super discreet. You could really go anywhere and no one's really seen you operate unless they themselves have a submarine of some sort, and not many people do, which is a
it's
positive.
A limited number.
I think enough time will pass where you want this thing to be a discreet method of travel. And so And maybe an upset here. I'm going to go with the car that can drive underwater.
I thought for sure you were going to choose flying carpets.
I feel like the easiest thing to do would be the, like, say if it was, like, work instance. I don't want to go through traffic. I'll get into my my flying carpet. Like, I think it'd be the easiest way to do it. Plus, if I'm living still in the Midwest, I will not.
Midwest, that's the problem.
I will not need a car that goes underwater. I don't want to drive through the Missouri River. Why do I need to do that?
Yeah.
Like, why?
I mean, maybe try to skip traffic. Same thing. Okay. But the flying carpet can only fit you. And, like, I can't put my kid on it. There's some safety problems
there. It's a one-person carpet?
It's a one-person carpet.
Wow.
But if I still have my car, that can be, like, my weekend vehicle.
You still have a car, but, yeah, I mean, I'm guessing they wouldn't make you pay insurance on your flying carpet.
Just think about how quick that would be, is flying in the air. How fast am I going? That's another question.
You got to wear a helmet.
I mean, how fast are you comfortable going?
Right.
This is a railless flying carpet. I mean, what's your comfort here?
I'm inching along 30? On the carpet.
If it's like,
I'm not falling off.
I think I'm willing to whip it at like 30 or 40, but I'm not going 70 miles. Like, this is no good for a long trip. Yeah. Like, highway flying?
This is like to get to work and back.
Like, could you, like, the problems with the flying carpet that we're not considering that don't come with the underwater car, because I'm with you, Pete, is like the bugs in your face.
Right.
Like, there's a lot of stuff you got to work out.
Think about the bugs on your windshield in a road trip. Those things are going in your mouth. It's disgusting.
That's why you wear a helmet.
What, a face mask helmet?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. It's one of those old visor ones that come straight down.
Ridiculous. I think I might take the flying carpet, but the car underwater feels like a really nice treat.
You know, for what it's worth, we do have some data on this. I mean, Aladdin did look like he was having a lot of fun.
But that was a two-person.
And he was flying.
That was a two-person carpet ride, though.
That's true. He had a little bit of a upgraded option here.
Also, it feels like we should give him some credit for his ability to hang on that thing so well. Those seatbelts.
I just feel like the carpet will like wrap around you almost, like pretty much
you
make
think it kind
itself.
Of provide. Oh, okay. Yeah. I mean, it is a magic carpet, so you would think.
I mean, it's a whole new world if you do get the magic carpet. You got to think about that too.
At least we're split on it. We'll take your answers over 913-576-7610, the new text line number. Make sure to save it in your phone. Also, don't forget, you can take us with you on the road on the free radio.com app or listen to us while you're at home. Just tell your smart speaker, hey Alexa or hey Google, turn on 610 Sports Radio. There's a couple of things as the Royals, and you know, we're waiting to find out whether or not they have any positive tests, in which way this might go, depending on which way we don't know. There's at least one sporting rumor that they might have an unconfirmed positive test. But one of the advantages I feel like doesn't get mentioned enough as far as where Kansas City can go with this is the ability to play the division. And I know this isn't the same, Pete, as if the Chiefs NFL season got shortened to 10 games and they decided they would only play 8 divisional opponents and 2 from the, you know, the opposite, right? The NFC West, just like the Chiefs are in there. But there is a serious advantage in this. I've given out the numbers a couple times. So they hit 28 home runs in 80 games against the division last year. Witt hit .333 with an over .400 on base percentage against the AL Central last year. They went 26 and 31 against teams that weren't the Twins last year. And that to me is around that number of, if you can be 26 and 31, you can just as easily be 31 and 26. It's a lot like being 6 and 10 or 10 and, you know, like the 9 and 7, 6 and 10 range in the NFL season.
Right.
It's that wash. If you can get yourself in the washer there, the only hesitation I have is, can they be better against the Tigers than they were a year ago? And can they be less bad against the Twins?
A lot of times.
Because the Twins killed them.
A lot of times close games too. And when the margin is so close there, right? It's middle relieving. And that's, I think, where you have to be good in those close game situations. And look, you can break the numbers down in every which way. I just, my whole point, and I said it earlier on the show, is I just think you really need to get off to a good early start. This is a thing where it's just unlike anything we've ever seen. And I know everyone's trying to downplay, and including Mike Matheny, downplay this early. You have to get started early, division or not, because the amount of games.
We don't even have their schedule yet. I'm still waiting on the MLB schedule.
It's incredible how different this is going to feel, because, man, each and every day is going to really matter. A loss is going to be a huge problem. A win is going to be outstanding. Like, say the Royals miraculously are able to get out to, let's say, a 3-game winning streak, and then all of a sudden you're in that fourth game. Imagine them winning the fourth game. You're like, what is going on here? We only have, you know, 56 games to play. It's going to be completely different.
Yeah, and I guess that's where I constantly just try to talk myself into, you know, where are the advantages, right? Where can they get it? They're going to have one of the best stolen base guys in all of baseball. They're going to have one of the better hit guys in Whit Merrifield, one of the better home run guys. Like, if they're limited to that, and those are, and the, all those guys performed better against the division except the pitching, which means for this to actually be an advantage, they still have to use some pitchers the rest of the division hasn't seen. The AL Central beat up on a few guys like Jacob Junis. They beat up occasionally on Brad Keller. They're better against guys who see them less. So while the Royals offense has the advantage, it's how do they handle the pitching? And that's where we ride into a bit of a problematic scene and without necessarily knowing which way it'll go.
And I think the starting pitching should be pretty good. I mean, you're in a pretty good situation, I find, there. It's the bullpen. That's gonna be big in a season like this, because
people are hoping Holland and Rosenthal and other guys are better than what they rolled out last year. And
right,
we don't
because
know.
You saw last year they were able to get leads early, and then all of a sudden it felt like you're watching the same game. It would unravel, right? So it is. Can you continue to build off of that hitting and actually get it done when it comes to the sixth and seventh and eighth, and get to the ninth?
Let's get to a little last minute.
Last minute.
What do you got for us, Kramer?
I have my mic on. That'd be actually kind of helpful right there.
There you go.
So, Damian Lillard has doubts players will strictly follow the bubble rules. And I also quoted, "My confidence ain't great." Could this be from what Stephen A. Smith said the other day?
Talking about them, needing weed and sex?
Yes.
Yeah, I think that's real. I think that's a real problem. Players like to have fun.
They're young millionaires.
Right.
What would you have, like, Pete, if you were a 29-year-old millionaire, you know.
Yeah.
What's your drunk moniker? My brother, when I get really drunk, calls me Uncle Cody. I don't know why, but what's your...
I don't really have one. Sometimes in college, they would call me Petey Guns.
Okay.
After a few.
Not Sneaky Pete or like, no. You know, there's got to be...
No, but yeah, no, I know what you mean. I think players, and that's a big part of the NBA culture that goes a little bit unseen and is behind the scenes, is they do enjoy themselves. I think a small glimpse of that came with The Last Dance, when you just saw how much Dennis Rodman was fiending for just being in Las Vegas for a period during the season that Phil Jackson allowed. So it'll be interesting. This is a very unique circumstance. I think you look at it in the sense, if you're an NBA player, is like, this is one of the obstacles this year to winning a title. And hopefully, if you're a pro basketball player, you can make that sacrifice for one season and hope that everything's back to normal when this is all said and done.
I think so much of it is like relying on everybody to follow the rules is not going to happen.
Now, it's not going to be 100%. Yeah.
They just need 98%, 99%. They just need the few people who sneak out to hopefully not catch anything.
I'm just more curious of the people who like snuck out from the FC Dallas team to bring the COVID inside their bubble.
The most bizarre thing about the bubble,
or
that
did
I,
they have it before and it didn't show up? I mean, that's part of it too. Like, sometimes you don't test positive for a few days.
The most bizarre thing about the bubble that I heard is that there's not going to be security within the bubble. It's just going to be pure lawlessness on the security is going to be on the outside.
So it's Westworld.
So you're telling me
is Westworld.
You know, the NBA players who are ultra competitive, and you can make this case about any sport,
are
not
going to
have. Not going to be upset after some games where something goes wrong, or there maybe is a hard foul or something, and there's not going to be any security to break anything up ever happening inside the bubble. That seems a little short-sighted as
Chris Sale once tried to go beat up Yordano Ventura after a game.
100%.
This is the playoffs.
Right. Playoffs?
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Fist fights?
Sure.
Yeah. Sure. Lawlessness inside the bubble. That's exactly it.
It's like the Purge.
It's either it's some combination of the Purge, Westworld, the Hunger Games, they play in a dome, right?
And you even have a little bit of the Game of Thrones in there where people are going to be sneaking outside the wall. Perfect. It's like HBO.
So they had a bubble over in the AFL, and a guy broke their bubble, and he's suspended for 4 weeks.
Yeah, to get some... Like, there was a guy in the German soccer league, the Bundesliga, who got kicked out for 2 weeks. He just went to go get some toothpaste.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, sorry, fellas. Well,
those whites are not going to stay pearly by themselves.
It's the bubble, sir. You got to stay in it.
Yeah.
These are the rules. When we come back here on Cody and Gold, we'll talk to Vahe Gregorian of the Kansas City Star about multiple things, including the Chiefs selling the naming rights to the stadium and, you know, some good things happening around sports that need the attention they deserve. Plus, Kramer will attempt to teach us about pop culture. We'll talk about that next here on Cody and Gold.
Both.
Cody and Gold, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending. The Fix and Flip Guys at caseylend.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.